You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. You're listening to On the Couch, with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are officially on the couch. Welcome, everyone. As always, I have a wonderful show for you today. I try to help you out with some of your issues and problems going on, stress, sadness, personal relationships. But today, we're going to be talking specifically about personality issues. How do we get along with certain people who have personality problems, or even go so far as to say that they may have a personality disorder? I'm going to be telling you about that and what makes up a personality disorder. Some of the things going on, of course. I have a lot of emails from people asking me questions like this. And as you may know, along with being a communication and body language analyst for Entertainment Tonight, many times, I also work in personality profiling. Okay, so we're going to talk about the fascinating psyche of someone who is a little off sometimes. By the way, I'm not going to be diagnosing your friends, relatives, girlfriends, or boyfriends. This is not what I do. Can't do it. And we don't have a therapeutic relationship necessarily here. I'm just giving you ideas, suggestions, knowledge, things for you to think about. Okay? So, over the past several weeks, many listeners have asked me about the mind of someone who is a mass shooter. Particularly like the gunman, Aaron Wybara, who stormed into the Seattle Pacific University's, I think it was the science building yesterday, and fatally shot one man and wounded three others. Thank God for that student building monitor or whatever he was, who talked the guy out of putting his gun down, helped him become disarmed, and then he was tackled by other people and arrested by police. What's up with this guy? What is up in someone's mind that they get so crazy that they want to go out and shoot? Well, it's happening a lot. You know? Of course, there's Elliot Rodger, who a couple of weeks ago, May 23rd, killed six people. And then he had a shootout, old Western style, with the police in the college town of Isla Vista. That's up in the northern coast from our studios here in Los Angeles, just adjacent to the University of California, Santa Barbara campus. But some listeners want to know the difference between someone who is described as a sociopath, who is deemed just plain old evil, right? And someone who has a psychiatric or chemical disorder, who sometimes can't help themselves or actually stop their violent impulses. Okay, I'm not making excuses for these people. I'm just saying, I know personality profiling. So when I first hear about these guys, the shooters I'm talking about, many others, I mean, come on, give me the list here. I usually think that they probably have psychosis with voices, because I've dealt with clients like this, telling them to kill or the bad people out there. The voices are saying, you must got someone because they're evil. They have delusions, right? So they think that they have to save others for some crazy cause, or that they have delusions that they're the, God or something. Now, I've had so many clients who say, my voice told me that I am a supreme being and I need to find the demons and kill them. And therefore, I went into a mall, looked into the eyes of a 10-year-old boy, and knew he was the devil, and pulled him out, away from his mother, and of course, she ended up in jail. Psychiatric, that is. But it's, you know, it's a very fine line, you know, between someone who has a psychiatric or chemical disorder and can't help themselves stop their violent impulses, you know. So that's the way it is sometimes. And then we have the so-called bad people, the bullies. The bad bullies. So you start kind of piecing things together and you hear, why do people do things? You hear information. And this is how detectives do it as well. They ask relatives about patterns of personalities of these people. They ask friends, they ask whoever they can. They get information. With this Elliot guy, we found out Radar Online, which has a lot of interesting stories, that a source close to Elliot Rogers' family said that the accused, or alleged, as I have to say here, UCSB mass murderer had been prescribed but refused to take his psychiatric medication. Boom! He had extreme paranoia and he was hearing voices. And that's the thing. The voices are real. Sounds like somebody's really talking to them in their head, saying, kill the bad guys. You are the one that's going to save the planet. They're convinced. Apparently, Elliot looked up the side effects of the antipsychotics and determined he didn't need it. And by the way, what's kind of scary to me is at the time of his killing spree, he hadn't seen a psychiatrist in over 2 years. Right? Before that, he was being treated by a couple of psychologists. Psychologists. And he was probably lying, saying, oh, yes, I'm on my medication. Mm-hmm. Yep. And his parents, of course, are hiding out. They don't know what's going on. They're trying to come to grips with what happened. You know. And as time goes by, we read the profiling. I really like to find out what's going on sometimes. And he'd been troubled when he was young, this Elliot Rogers. Roger, rather. He couldn't express himself. Of course, he was probably scared that he didn't want to tell people that he heard voices. Because when you start hearing voices, you have a chemical imbalance. And in many cases, when I've had clients, they say, did you hear that? I'll say, no. It's called reality testing. We do this. Did you hear that? No. Well, this voice just told me that you're thinking that I'm a bad person. Really? Who is this voice? I don't know, but it's an angry man who comes up a lot. Well, I think this is your chemical imbalance because there's no one here in the room with us and there's no one that I heard saying that. And I'm just going to tell you right now that I don't think you're a bad person. So it's constant reality check. But again, it's sad because there is chemical imbalance. You know. And the thing is, too, is when you guys see a video that's kind of scary uploaded to, like, YouTube, as this guy did less than 24 hours before his killing spree, if you guys see a scary video and you're one of these YouTube people that latest, look at what's popular and trending, you've got to call the police, okay? Because this guy talked about his frustration as being rejected by women. And he spoke with little emotion. He was like what we call flat affect. He was sitting in his car looking straight into a camera and he said, quote, and here's the giveaway, I'm the superior one. And he wondered aloud why women didn't find him attractive. And his solution was, he said, to go on a shooting spree. Hello, 911. Here's the YouTube link. Look at him. Find him. He's going to do some harm. That's what we have to keep our eyes. That's, you know, these are the positive things about social media. We can find out things about people. Yeah. So there are differences between people who have like a severe mental disorder, like Elliot, and someone who's just plain evil. There are. We call it antisocial personality disorder. And again, don't get me wrong. I'm not defending Elliot Rogers. for what he did or what. I'm not. He should have been on meds. So when we're talking about the antisocial or the bullies or the evil people out there, you know, we're talking about a whole new deal. It's a whole different thing than I'm hearing voices and you know, that kind of thing. We call the antisocial the dangerous personality. Usually primarily men. Yes, there are women that have been diagnosed with that. Yeah, absolutely. But usually the antisocial personality engages in unlawful behavior. May have been arrested several times. Legal problems.
He has a record.
He's lied, been deceitful, conned you in order to further personal pleasure or needs. They're impulsive. They don't plan ahead. They fail to think about consequences. They've been physically aggressive, assaultive, or irritable towards many people. They show a blatant disregard for our safety and welfare. And if you're in a relationship with one of these guys, go south, baby. They failed to sustain consistent work or to honor financial responsibilities. And the biggie, they usually show a lack of remorse. And they have indifference or they rationalize their behavior when they hurt, mistreat, or steal. And money is a big one. They like to get this stuff. So they manipulate a lot of people. And, you know, if any of these warning signs sound familiar to you, do you date people who manipulate, who lie, act, you know, irresponsibly? Do you think that what your current partner is saying might be a lie? Do you feel like you have to constantly go on their Facebook or their Instagram and look at pictures? And No, this is not a cheater necessarily, although antisocials usually are cheaters. Because they think they have a sense of entitlement and can get away with anything, and the people think they're stupid. They think other people are stupid, rather. So, I mean, that's the crux of it. And you have to just be, you know, careful. The essential feature of the antisocial bully, as opposed to the chemically imbalanced person, like Elliot Rodger, is a constant pattern of disregard for and violation of the rights of others. And they don't care, you know? So they kind of manipulate a lot of people. They have charm, boy. It's superficial, though. A lot of times very good looking. Yeah, very nice. They know how to charm people. They're unreliable. They have poor judgment, a lack of remorse for bad behavior. And those are just some of the hallmarks of the antisocial personality type. And it doesn't mean antisocial, like, I can't talk to people. No, it's almost quite the opposite. They're against society and against social rules or laws. Not asocial, like a withdrawn or reclusive person. It's anti. So they're sort of dangerous. They think they can get away with a lot of stuff. And as this dangerous personality type grows into adulthood, some of these acts may continue. You see, you know, a pattern of violating the rights of others in the service of asserting one's own will and agenda on others, even forcefully if necessary. And this is where, you know, the criminal aspect of the shooters or, you know, this kind of thing comes in. But you have to just sort of get a history of someone to be able to diagnose what's really going on. If you'd like to give me a call, by the way, you can always do that here on LA Talk Radio on the couch with Dr. Michelle at 323-203-0815, 323-203-0815. If you have a question about someone whose, you know, personality may be a little odd or different or, you know, whatever, I can maybe help you with some of this. I'm, again, not diagnosing people on the air. I can't do that. I don't do that. And I'm not giving you therapy. We don't have a therapeutic relationship. But what I might be able to do is give you some knowledge, some information, some of the things to look out for, that kind of thing. If you're shy and you would rather not have your voice on the air, you can, of course, email me. And I will try to answer your questions as well. Right here at the station is Doc Michelle with two L's. DOC Michelle, Doc Michelle at AOL.com. Yeah, we're an AOL person here at the station. So do that and let me know if you have a question for me. So that's all I'm doing is I'm just kind of looking at personality disorders today and what they are. Antisocial personality, kind of scary. And I gave you some of the clues, some of the things to look out for. Just a little preview here. What is a personality disorder? You know, why are they a little different from the rest of kind of people? You know, you see outstanding things and you question things sometimes. So I want you to think of most personality traits as existing like on a continuum from barely notable to extreme, like present to a significant degree in every situation. Like every single one of us have some measures of personality differences. I mean, right? Sometimes we have a measure of caution and self-protection. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we get self-defensive. Sometimes we want to slap someone. Right? So a few of us are at the extreme end of this spectrum. And a few of us don't become suspicious in every new situation and relationship. We don't expect to be wronged and accusing our partners of unfaithfulness when there's not a shred of evidence. You know, let's just say somebody who has like a paranoid personality disorder. He's going to cheat on me. I know he is. They're suspicious of all relationships. So in a nutshell, folks with personality disorders usually have consistent patterns of thinking about or relating to and experiencing the world and love relationships that are really consistent across time. And they always correlate with dysfunction. And one of my favorite words, drama. Yeah, I'm still working on the book, Detoxing the Drama. We all get addicted to drama sometimes. We do. Our neural patterns fire. We go, yeah, baby. Whether it's anger, whether it's depression, whether it's, anxiety. We do get sort of addicted to these patterns. Sometimes we love that adrenaline when we're angry. Ooh, that fuses us. Woohoo! It doesn't feel good afterwards, though, because we have to come down from that chemical rush. So that's the deal. You know, personality disorder. I mean, they're just kind of outstanding personality traits. And you know what? What's really cool is if you go back, like, if you read, oh, man, Hippocrates, 400 BC, Hippocrates, the doctor, Greek physician, right? He had a wide range of what he called temperaments that he nailed in people, a wide range of personality dispositions. He called them temperaments. And they really, if you read some Hippocrates stuff, whoa, dang, it's like reading the current DSM. Wow, that person's kind of hiding and avoiding. They don't express themselves. They don't talk too much. They're really quiet. What are they? Huh. That person's really a bully. That person is always accusing other people and always angry. That person is passive aggressive. That person's avoidant. That person's so dependent on other people. You know, all these features, if you look back, whoa! I mean, we're talking a long time ago. That's amazing. They've been around forever. Why? We don't know. We don't know. But we do know is sometimes they do run in families. You know, sometimes you can inherit. We don't know the genealogy yet. We don't know about it. And that's what's sad. Many of the medications don't help. Maybe to calm folks down. If you're looking at benzodiazepines, tranquilizers or whatever. Antidepressants help sometimes. You know, if you're looking at folks who are really amped up. Benzos. Relax. And of course, like I said, the antidepressants will help lower those real, you know, tendencies to go down deep and really get depressed, which is, you know, which is a good thing. But we don't know a lot, and that's kind of scary sometimes. But what I'm going to do is try to kind of give you some heads up on some of the personality disorders. And I'm also taking, like I said, some of the emails. I have contacted via email some of the people who've written me and asked me questions. And told them I'm going to be on the air talking about their question today. So here we go. Let's move on to an email I received from Justin. This happened a couple of days ago. And he emailed me at docmichelle@aol.com. And what he's talking about here is fascinating to me because he says, I'm 28 years old and have been in this on and off relationship with my girlfriend, who I'll call Lauren, for the last year. I feel that I love her, but she's very sensitive and has mood swings. When she feels good, we have fun and enjoy each other. But about 75% of the time, she's either depressed, angry, or stressed. Red flag. Woo, woo, woo. Okay. All right, Justin. He says, the sex is great, but I get confused because she'll turn on me even shortly after we've had sex and get in an angry mood. Ooh. And she'll accuse me of things that I don't understand and that I actually don't do or would never do. She's had a lot of past relationships and has low self-esteem. She lashes out at me for no reason. Many times she says everyone's against her and no one understands her. Uh-oh. She seems to lose friends after several months and does not apologize, usually, for being angry. I try not to fight with her about stupid stuff she gets mad about, like how what I said hurt her, or if I didn't text or call her back right away, or not telling her exactly where I've been after work. Well, a couple of my friends have said she may be borderline. What does that mean? Should I continue this relationship? Well, Justin, I'm not going to tell you whether you should continue this relationship or not, but if she does have borderline personality disorder, you're in for a bumpy time. I'm just saying, this is a bumpy ride. So get ready. get ready. This is what many people call the stormy partner. Comes and goes. But when that storm is happening, it's a heavy one. It's big. So the majority of people who have the borderline personality are women. Interestingly enough. So here's the deal. Many borderline personality disordered people are intensely fear of abandonment. That's probably why she's asking you where you are, when you're coming home, what are you doing? Oh, I guess you said you didn't live together. And frequently interprets your behavior as rejecting. If she has a history of intense, unstable, and volatile relationships, which it sounds like you said she has not had a very lengthy relationship in the past. She has a very fragile self-image, a history of impulsive behavior, impulsive spending, sex, substance abuse, reckless driving. Is she a spender? Is she a binge eater? Sometimes that happens. Intense mood fluctuations. Whoa. Justin, I hope you're taking notes here. Chronically feels empty and bored, especially without you, and becomes inappropriately angry and lashes out verbally or physically. Yep, there you go. That could be what's going on here. I'm just saying. Usually what we say is a lot of times if you're in a relationship with a borderline personality person, they act out repeatedly and then they pull their partners into what we call relational quicksand. And I understand this is probably what attracted you to her, Justin. Relationship usually, starts out with some excitement, but just as quickly ends with shock and anger or confusion. You sound kind of confused. You know, sometimes the borderline personality person will threaten to self-harm as well. If you don't do this, you've done this to me and I'm going to hurt myself. No one loves me. And does this sound familiar, guys, to you? Are you in a relationship with someone like this? Or women? There are borderline men as well. But the thing that's a little scary is that they may be among the most volatile and difficult people you will ever know. There's all these, descriptions we can use, but they are real-life relational tornadoes. I mean, they are. They rip through our lives with intensity and negativity. Yikes! You never know what you're going to get. It's kind of like a box of chocolates coming home to a box of chocolates. And we don't know what makes a borderline. We don't know. But things usually went very poorly early in their childhood. Chaos, abandonment, neglect, trauma, whether it's abuse or sexual, physical, whatever. They may have been attacked or ridiculed. I mean, they're really damaged, and it's very sad. Very sad. And not all adults, you know, not all people who turn into borderline adults were sexually or physically abused as children. You know, there may be a lot of neglect, which is abuse, actually. But, I mean, many times we find that they are predisposed. Like, you know, your mom had a up-and-down personality. Or grandpa was, wow, he was, you never knew what you were going to get. You know. So I know, Justin, you probably are asking yourself, why me? Why was I so attracted to this person? I don't know. I can't tell you. I can't tell you. But you have to ask yourself, you know, some kind of questions so you can really get things straight. Do I want to caregive? Maybe you have to ask yourself that. Am I a caregiver? Do I want to caregive someone who's crazy? I don't like to use the word crazy and throw it around because it's not funny. Sometimes it's not really, it's not funny. But I mean, this is how a lot of people describe this personality and many personality issues. But if you are experiencing this kind of behavior, Justin, I would say you may want to really question if you want to stay in this stormy relationship. You may want to question it. Just kind of question why you may be attracted to this. I get it. The sex is great. I get it. But is it worth the never knowing who you're going to meet? And you never know when they're going to go off and scream and yell at you. And they're angry at everyone. Gets really tough sometimes to take them out with your friends. Because they've pushed a lot of your friends away. They don't want to be around you. Have you noticed that, Justin? Yeah. And many times after the initial period of they're being charming and the sex is great and the fun and woohoo! And the impulse, there's no impulse. I mean, there's a lack of impulse control, rather. You know, it's just fun. You guys are having a crazy time. And then the roller coaster sets in. So a lot of people find this alluring as well. So you have to ask yourself, Justin, do you like it? If you like it, then be ready. Yeah. Be ready to white knuckle it for a long time. Pull that bar over you. Start the roller coaster and that's what's going to happen. Check it out. See how it goes. Find out more history about her. Does she not really have good connections with her family too? She has no friends. Why is it always everyone else's fault? Ask her some of these questions. You know, you might really get some information on this. Okay? I think that would be great. Also, you know, there's a lot of people who have issues and, you know, questions and things about different types of personality disorders that aren't that kind of serious or horrible. You know what I'm saying? And I can help you with some of that stuff, too. And again, I'm not giving you therapy. We don't have a therapeutic relationship. And I'm certainly not diagnosing anyone over the air because I would never do that. It's not really cool of me to do. So, again, we're talking about personality disorders. And particularly, you know, I wanted to talk about some of the shootings at the top of the show here. And what is the profile of in the mind of some of these people? You know, the guy in Seattle. Yesterday, my God, killed one person, wounded three others seriously. I don't get it. But again, we're looking probably at psychosis there, just like Elliot Roger, who went crazy here in Santa Barbara, just north of our studios in Los Angeles. You don't know a lot of what's going on, but you do have to really, you know, look at history. You really do. You have to look at what's going on and try to figure it out. And that's what a lot of the profilers do. You look at history, you look at, see if people are taking medications and, you know, that kind of thing. So that's what you do. All right. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can give me a call here. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. And, you know, I can try to help you out. If you have a question about a relationship or someone's personality that is a little odd, you know, that kind of thing. And again, I'm not giving you therapy and I'm not diagnosing them. That's my disclaimer here, guys. I have to do that because I want to make sure that you know that. Also, if you're shy, you don't want to get your voice on the air, you can email me, Doc Michelle, D-O-C Michelle with two L's at AOL.com here on LA Talk Radio on the couch, as you can be, or wherever you're at in your car. I want to also mention that all the shows are available on iTunes podcasts on the couch. There you go. Just put that in there when you're searching, and you'll have it right there. So here's the thing. What we're going to do is I'm going to answer some of your emails. Let me look up and see if I can find someone else who wrote me. Here's a good one. Hey, Dr. Michelle, I have some issues with a man that I've been seeing. All right. He seems to have an inflated sense of self-importance and often exaggerates how smart he is and how much money he's made in his life. I'm smiling. This is looking scary. My boyfriend, I'll call him James, believes that he's special and can only be understood by or should only associate with other special, talented, or famous people. Okay. He shows a strong sense of entitlement, and usually he expects people to give him special treatment. And he gets mad if other people don't. Okay. Sometimes when I tell him I'm hurting or that he's hurt my feelings or he's mean to his family members, he just doesn't have a lot of empathy. He says, well, they deserve it and they need to know that they said something that was wrong. He seems like he's jealous of many people as well. But I'm fascinated with him because he's really good looking and he's very charming. The sex is great. Oh, there we go. And also, we just have fun together. So I don't know what to do. Is this guy narcissistic? Ta-da! Ding, ding, ding! I don't know. I'm not going to analyze him. I'm not going to diagnose him over the air here. But I will tell you that I call this the self-absorbed partner. They really are high maintenance a lot of times. They require constant admiration and praise. Kind of high maintenance. Now, guys, you can have women like this too. It's not just applied to men. But more men are narcissistic. That's just what they find statistically. So here's three primary characteristics. You have to think about this. That you'll know if he has kind of the tendency towards being a narcissist. Okay. He has an exaggerated sense of self-importance. He has a preoccupation with being admired by others. And here's the biggie, an inability to empathize or even understand the perspective of other people. That is the biggie. They don't have the ability to empathize with other people. They don't get it. When you say you hurt me, they're like, what? They blame it on you. There's not a lot of depth. You know? They have a grandiose sense of self-importance. So, it kind of means, I don't know, they're like the human equivalent of the animal kingdom's peacock. You know? They always overestimate their abilities and accomplishments, never missing an opportunity to draw attention to their inherent greatness. So keep in mind that they're not really faking it or exaggerating it. They're not funny. They truly believe that they're superior, special, and uniquely talented people. So just kind of think of those things. And I thank you so much for emailing me, because then what we can do is you know, I would really suggest you go on to like DSM-5, Google that, and then go to personality disorders and then look up narcissistic personality disorder and then just see if he may fit the bill on all those. And then go out with him, ask him questions. Do you feel that you are the human equivalent of the peacock in the animal kingdom? All right. No, I don't mean to joke, because I know it can be tough being with someone like that. And it's, you know, it can be fun, too. You know, they're exciting and fascinating and all that stuff. But you got to ask yourself if you want to live with someone like that. That's the deal. We have a caller here at 323-203-0815 on LA Talk Radio. Hi, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle. Who's this?
Hey, Doc. This is Jack.
Hey, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good today.
Yeah.
Doing pretty good.
Good.
Love your show.
Good.
Just get a lot of, you know, input from you, and I think we all need help occasionally.
Yeah, we do.
So, I've been listening to you talk about people with personality problems, and I have a question that I would like to I'd like you to help me with.
Sure.
I've been with my girlfriend now for about a year, and I'm feeling kind of smothered.
Oh, okay. All right.
And I heard you talk about Justin's girlfriend who might be borderline.
Yeah.
But mine is not like that.
Okay, that's good.
My girlfriend, who's about 35, kind of makes me feel responsible for her all the time.
Hmm.
We are thinking about moving in together.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering if that is a good idea.
Okay.
I'm an independent man. Take care of myself, and she's great and everything, but. You know, moving in is a big deal for me.
That's a big step to take, actually.
She always tells me how she feels uncomfortable and helpless when she's alone.
Interesting.
And, I mean, when we spend time apart, she's calling me and saying, you know, I miss you, and that's all sweet. I love that. That's a good thing.
Yeah,
that's a good thing.
Sure, that is a good thing. You know,
but
she
can't handle. It seems like she can't handle her own anxiety. She has a hard time making everyday decisions without a lot of advice and assurance from me and her family. She's close with her family.
Well, that's good.
She asked me to help her with, you know, little things in life and big things. And she's still mostly financially supported by her parents. She's 35.
Okay.
She works at the front desk of an organization, and she's very nice, but much of the time she's too nice. She hardly ever disagrees with me and other people, which I think makes her frustrated.
Right. She probably she's going to be rejected or something if she's not nice to everyone.
I think that's the case. Because I think she fears that she will be rejected.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm feeling like I'm responsible for her happiness.
Oh, that's not good. Yeah.
I just don't know if that's what I want.
I hear you.
Can you tell me more about dependent women?
Yeah, dependent.
And how to help me make the decision to either stay with the relationship or move away from the relationship.
Wow.
I don't know.
Jack, I can't tell you at all, you know, whether you should get away from this person or keep, you know, hanging in there with the relationship. I can't do that. I can't tell you. And I wouldn't do that. But, you know, it sounds to me, because I'm on the radio and if you come into my office, but I don't solicit.
I need help.
I know. I don't solicit folks on the air. I don't do that. I don't have listeners come on my couch in real life. But the thing is, and again, I'm not giving you therapy and I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you some ideas here. And it sounds to me like you're feeling a little scared about moving in with this person because she's very dependent on you, right?
Right.
And she's very sweet, very nice, and all that. But it sounds to me also like you're being pulled, like your behavior is responsible for her happiness. You being there is all about her happiness, right?
Yes. Yeah.
We can't really, you know, we have to look at the thought process, and I don't know if you know about her background or, you know, anything like that, but you might want to find out a little bit more about why she's so dependent on other people. But, you know, you've described someone who has a lot of the characteristics of a dependent personality, as we call it. And, you know, she's 35 years old. She's still financially supported. You said that she works. Does she work part time or full time? At the front desk.
She works. I think she works about 35 hours a week.
Oh, okay, that's fair.
So it's
that's pretty good.
Kind of like full time.
Okay, that's good.
I think she's considered part time.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Because a lot of, you know, people with the dependent personality really have fears of having to take care of themselves. So that's good that she's working. But, you know, the thing is, as you said, that she feels uncomfortable and is always wanting to know when I can be there, or, you know, she makes you feel like you have to take care of her. That's kind of the bottom line there. So, yeah, I mean, it just depends on what you want to do. We call the dependent person the sticky personality. That's we as in psychologists sometimes. They just really usually look for a lot of reassurance and guidance from other people. And they have a big lack of self-assurance. So they work really hard at, you know, pleasing others. They're usually really easy to get along with, which is nice. Caring. You know, they're nice people, accommodating almost to a fault. But they require a lot of time and energy and reassurance that they kind of become a burden to anybody. But another dependent type, in other words, do you think you're like a dependent guy on other people?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I'm pretty self sustained.
Okay, that's good. No, that's really good.
That's why I'm concerned about this.
Right. And you don't know what makes someone dependent usually. I mean, we have theories and what happened to the person's childhood and, you know, things like that. I don't know. Many times, like, the dependent people grew up in homes that had really a lot of parental control, overprotection, too much nurture, right? Sometimes the personality that is very dependent, you know, all of their, you know, every need was taken care of. And there was no encouragement to become independent.
Mm-hmm.
But then they become undermined, you know, by a controlling parent. And whenever they want to become dependent, the controlling parent, which is kind of sad, usually, you know, undermines, you know, they have these ideas or they have these things, instead of saying, yeah, that's a great idea, go for it. Or you want to study art? Yeah, go for it. Instead of, you'll never amount to anything and you have to, you know, there's a lot of times a lot of coercion from controlling parents. But we don't know this as a fact, but we just look at factors. So anyway, Jack, what attracted you to her in the first place?
She's a very, very sweet person.
Yeah.
She's, you know, she's very pretty, very attractive.
Yeah.
And we met actually through some friends. And we started dating. And, you know, a year's gone by. And so we're just, considering the next step.
Okay. You sound a little depressed. You sound a little beaten down a little bit on the air. Maybe you had a big night last night. I don't know. But you do sound frustrated to me, and you sound a little like you don't know what to say or do.
It is draining me.
Yeah.
I've never been married.
Yeah.
So I'm 38.
That's good.
Never been married, and having someone move in is a big step.
Sure.
I'm not a quote unquote player. I haven't dated a lot. I'm very dedicated to my work.
That's great.
And achievement in my work has been number one over the past 15 years.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I just, sure, the opportunity of having, you know, someone live with me.
Sure.
I'm kind of a traditional guy.
Well, that's nice.
And I'm trying to see myself with her. You know, down the road. And I just don't know whether this is the person for me.
Well, you have to ask yourself, can I live with someone indefinitely who's really dependent on me? In other words, do I think that the smothering and the claustrophobic feeling is going to persist, and can I deal with it? Mm-hmm. So, you know, you really have to kind of think of that, because the prognosis or the likelihood of her changing with that personality, if she has that personality disorder of being dependent, is usually based on whether they're motivated to change and whether they have insight into their behavior. Now, it's not a bad disorder, especially, you know, because they're nice usually and they're kindly. They want to please everybody and they're kind of seen as mouses, you know. But that's okay. That's lovely. But, you know, you want to encourage someone, and it sounds to me like you want someone who's not so clingy. So you may want to consider couples therapy or have her independently. You know, just say, what I would love you to do is become more independent, because sometimes I feel like you are so needy of me. I mean, I love you and I'm busy and I have other things to do, but I can't. I feel like you want to be taken care of like a child, and it kind of scares me. Something like that that would feel comfortable to you. And again, I'm not giving you therapy. I'm giving you ideas as to what, you know, people suggest that we say to folks who are very dependent. You know, so, you know, consider that. And help your lady enjoy small successes. And when she does do independent things, you know, help her do little independent things. Do this, do that, whatever. But, you know, if you're feeling smothered, like I said, or you feel like, and also I want you to think about this, Jack. What was it in you? Because there's something, I mean, she sounds charming and beautiful and lovely and nice and great. And that's cool. But you got to look at something within you that maybe you want to be a caregiver of someone. And that's different from being a father, let's say, like a caregiver to a child. Well, maybe not. But you know what I'm saying. To a partner who is equal in, or, you know, giving and taking as a normal relationship does, she sounds like you're having to give a lot. So you kind of have to look at yourself and say, what is it within me that wants to be a caregiver? What am I getting out of this? Am I feeling like stronger as a man? Am I feeling like, oh, good, I'm a helper, I'm helping someone? And this is no judgment. I do not judge you for this. What I'm just saying is maybe take a look at yourself and see if you have a need to caregive someone and it makes you feel better. Does it make you feel more of control in your life, or you're the man, or whatever? You just kind of have to look at that and ask yourself these questions.
And okay.
Do you feel me? You know where I'm coming from here?
I know where you're coming from. I feel you.
Okay.
I feel you.
Okay.
I think maybe it's that I feel not desperate, but have a girlfriend or have a fiancé start settling down in my life. There's more to life than just work.
And
she does, you know, she does fit the profile of a potential wife, and you know, maybe that's why I'm a caregiver to her.
Sure.
The man of a relationship, you know, enjoys caregiving to the potential wife or girlfriend.
No, of course.
So I think that's part of the equation.
I
think that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. It just concerns me that she gets depressed sometimes because she is that she is full of anxiety sometimes when she can't make a decision. It's a little trying. So maybe that's part of it.
Well, I hear you. Maybe you can again encourage her to you know, go to therapy or encourage her to do more independent things, so it'll help your relationship. You know, you can lovingly say things like that as well. You know, I really love you. You're wonderful. You're the sweetest. You're the kindest. You're such a nice lady and all this. But I worry sometimes about you that you can't do X or Y or Z, that you depend so much on me that I feel pulled by you. You know, again, you can use the language and say it appropriately and lovingly, because you sound like a nice guy too. So, listen, Jack, you're welcome. We have a hard break coming up on the news, but I sure appreciate you for calling in, and hope I gave you some ideas and helped you out a little bit.
You gave me some great, great advice.
All
Thank
right.
you so much.
Okay, appreciate your call. Take good care. Shoot me an email. Let me know how it's going.
Love your show.
Thank you so much. Take care now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All righty. Wow, we're just about out of time. We got a hard break coming up for CBS News. And I thank you, everybody, for being on the couch with me today. We talked about personality issues, personality disorders. If you'd like to find out more information, check out DSM-5. Google personality disorders and, just check out and see what some of the characteristics are. And if you may have one or if someone you know may be sort of close to some of those characteristics, then you'll understand them better and know how to, work through the relationship with them or not. All right. As I always say, take care of yourselves first, because then you'll be great for others. And that's not a narcissistic personality thing. It's just the way life is. I'll be back next week. We're going to be finding out about living with a sociopath. Fascinating, fascinating book. Thanks for calling, everybody. Have a good one. Bye-bye now. Seeing flashing rays of coming light.